That Psalter number we just sang is fitting both for this morning and this afternoon. We sang in the second stanza, "But thy right hand saved and the light of thy face." We'll consider that in the sermon this afternoon. The Lord lift up his face upon thee and give thee peace. And then in the fourth stanza, we boast all the day, ever praising thy name. And that's what we consider this morning. We turn to Galatians chapter 6 for our scripture reading, where the Apostle Paul says his boast is only in the cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6. We read the chapter in its entirety. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 14. And we'll also be looking at verse 12 a little bit, and verse 13. But verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's striking to think about it. You and I were created to boast. You and I were created to boast. Man must boast. Man will boast. Man was created to boast. The crucial question is, in what or in whom will man make his boast? That's the question. And when you look at the world around us today, you see that many boast in their shame, as Philippians 3 puts it. They glory in their shame. They boast in things that they should be shameful of. When you look around in the world today, you see that many boast in things that are nothing. They boast in their riches. They boast in their nice cars. They boast in things that will rust and moths will destroy. They boast in things that are fleeting. Maybe their physical strength, maybe their nice clothes, maybe their athletic ability. They boast. Man will boast in something. What is more dreadful when it comes to man's salvation, what many will boast in is their works. You ask them where their comfort is or where they place their hope, and they say, my comfort and my hope is found in that I've lived a decent life. I won't forget it. I gave a chapel at the manor in town, and there was that old man I met. And he said, I asked him this, and he said, I've lived a decent life. And that was his comfort. And you could tell it wasn't very comforting to him. He was troubled by that, but that was his answer. That was his hope. I think I have lived a decent life. Well, when it comes to the one who knows the gospel, who knows the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, things are much different. Because for the one who knows the gospel, in all his earthly joys, with all that he has, and when it comes to his salvation, his boast is in Jesus Christ. His only boast is in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. That's what the Apostle Paul confesses in the text we look at this morning. But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, that I should have as my glory, what I take pride in, what I take boasting in. God forbid that I should glory only, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. And that's what we confess this morning too. That's what these five young adults confessed as they stood up and made confession of faith. They said, and they said it in the consistory room, maybe with more explicit words, but they said it this morning too. My only confidence, my only glory and boasting is Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness. He is my complete Redeemer and Savior. He is my all in all. He is my life everlasting. From Him and Him alone comes my salvation. That's what we confess this morning as we come to the Lord's Supper too. God forbid that I should glory, save in the broken body and the shed blood and the resurrection life of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. That's what we look at this morning. We take as our theme, boasting only in the cross. We look at three things. First, we see that this is an astonishing boast. Second, we look at a double explanation. That's where we look at the last part of the verse. And then third, we see that this is a personal confession. God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is an astonishing boast. What is that boast? The boast is simply this, that the cross of Jesus Christ and the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the perfect righteous life of Jesus Christ, His life and His death, is my complete righteous standing before God. That boast is simply this. In the cross of Jesus Christ, there is a complete covering, a complete atonement for all my sins. All my sins are blotted out. Not one remains exposed. I am completely forgiven, and there is nothing that I need to add to the finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ in order to be accepted of God and have a righteous standing. The boast is this. Salvation is all a gift of God's grace, and justification is through faith alone, without works. My entire righteousness is found in Christ alone. I have been set free from the condemnation of the law to live in liberty unto God's glory. That's what the entire book of Galatians is about. When you look at it in its context, this verse, Paul's writing here to the churches of Galatia who were struggling against the pernicious teachings of the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were teaching that your justification, your righteous standing before God is not by faith alone, but by faith and circumcision, faith and works. In order to be saved, you need to get circumcised and become a Jew. Contribute something of yourself. And when Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of Jesus Christ, Paul is saying, only in Jesus Christ. Exclusively in Jesus Christ. Altogether, apart from any works, does a man have his perfect righteousness before God. Not the cross plus circumcision. Not faith plus works, but the cross alone. Christ alone. Through faith alone. That's Paul's boast. Now that boast is astonishing. We maybe take it for granted, but we shouldn't. It is an astonishing boast. And I have especially three things to emphasize here. First, this was an astonishing boast because Paul was willing to make it, knowing full well the persecution that would come as a result of making this peculiar boast. And in order to see that, we need to look at the verses that come before it, especially verse 12. Look at verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Those Judaizers, they want you to be circumcised. They want to be able to boast in the flesh, in the arm of flesh. But why? Paul says, really, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says, those Judaizers who want you so badly to join up with them, and they press it upon you to join with them, the real reason they want you to be circumcised is this. They don't want to suffer persecution. And what Paul is pointing out is the reality is that if you stand true to the gospel, if you stand true to the gospel, you will suffer persecution. I emphasize that every time someone comes down to the consistory room to make confession of faith. Are you willing to endure mockery and persecution? Are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to lose life and limb for the sake of Jesus Christ and His cross? You need to count the cost. Being Jesus' disciple will cost you. You will suffer persecution. And that's true because when you hold fast to the gospel, what you are saying is this. God is everything. God has done it all. And all the glory goes to God alone. And none of the glory goes to man. And you see, that's offensive to the natural man. Man will persecute you for making that confession because ultimately what you are confessing has implications for them too. And it says something about them and their wickedness and their sinful nature and their need for Jesus. But now going on to verse 14, what does Paul say in response to all of this? Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says, it doesn't matter the persecution. The cross is the only thing that I can boast in. Everything else is a lie. Everything else fails. Everything else is but vanity. The cross is the only salvation there is. And so Paul's boldness here in the face of persecution makes this an astonishing boast. And that's our boast too this morning in the face of persecution. Second, this boast is astonishing because of all people, if anyone had occasion or reason to boast in the flesh, it was Paul. Just think, first of all, of Paul's upbringing. A Jew of the Jew, a Pharisee of a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as concerning the law, a Pharisee. If it had been in Paul's mind to remain a Jew, he might have been one of their most renowned rabbis, walking with honor throughout the streets of Jerusalem day by day. But Paul says, forget that. God forbid that I should boast in my birth, that I should boast in my circumcision or my education or my proficiency in the Scriptures. I know. He doesn't boast in that. He counts it all but dung when it comes to where he finds his righteousness before God. In the second place, Paul could have boasted in all the sufferings that he endured as a Christian for the Lord's sake. Just look at the life that he lived. He was a living martyr, and we might experience that too in our own way. We do, because we are all martyrs. We are all witnesses, and we all experience that self-sacrifice, dying to self to the cause of Christ crucified. Paul was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck and much more, beaten with rods in the deep a whole day and night, in perils in many different times of his life. But what does he say? Does he say, well, I can boast in these things a little bit? After all, look at how much I've done for Jesus. I've done a fair bit. That ought to earn something. Not at all. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It's not my works. It's God's grace. Everything is of Him. And so, if anyone had a reason to boast in the flesh, it was the Apostle Paul. But Paul rejects it. He will glory only in the cross. And that makes this an astonishing boast. You know, from an earthly point of view, we would say. And third, what makes this an astonishing boast is that Paul is talking here about the cross. We're talking about the ugly, blood-splattered, shameful, agonizing cross. The cross is not a glamorous thing, congregation. The cross is the picture of a bloody, agonizing death. The cross designated a person as a criminal who's under God's curse. No one in the world had ever boasted in a cross before. And look at Jesus there, hanging on the cross. What a pathetic figure. So that all the passers-by wag their heads and mock Him. What an impotent man. What a helpless, lame creature. The object of ridicule and mockery. Oh, boast in your riches, boast in your clean clothes, but don't boast in the cross. But Paul knows better. Yes, the cross, even the ugliest, darkest part of Jesus' life, where He endured those 3 hours of darkness, where He endured the most shame and humiliation. But Paul says, in the cross is found the full and free forgiveness of all my sins. In the cross and in the resurrection, there is found victory over death and the grave and hell. Yes, the Greeks may vilify the cross, and the Jews may mock it as weak and pathetic, but Paul doesn't care. Paul doesn't flinch an inch as his enemies mock and persecute him. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And He died on the cross, saving sinners, accomplishing their redemption. And I am the chief of sinners. And in Jesus Christ, in His cross, I find a full salvation. This is all my boast. This is all my life. This explains why I live the life that I live. This is why I am jealous of God's commandments. This is why I live the life of love and charity and judge charitably and why I make the sacrifices I can make. Because the cross of Jesus Christ and because the power of the cross rooted in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The cross! The cross! What a display of God's infinite love and grace that He should Himself come in my flesh and die for me. The cross, what a display of God's wisdom working all of it together for my redemption. The cross, what a display of God's power where I find the removal of all my guilt, what no man could accomplish. God in His power accomplished it through the cross. The cross, the door of hope. The source of rest, the only place where there is light in the midst of a dark world. The cross, which is the promise of my own glory in heavenly glory. The cross, my all in all. That's Paul's boast. That's an astonishing boast. That's our boast too. That's your boast too. You know it is. God has worked it in you, no matter what man may say. This is your boast. Well, what explains this boast? Why does Paul boast as he does? Well, Paul explains it in the second half of the text. This is where we move to the second point of the sermon. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's where we find this double explanation. And that's really where we find the effect of the cross upon Paul. When Paul says there, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, it might seem like strange language to us, but it's very powerful language. The meaning is this. that bond that formerly existed between the Apostle Paul and the world is so utterly destroyed, so utterly removed, that it is as if the one does not exist as far as the other is concerned. As far as Paul is concerned, the world no longer exists. And as far as the world is concerned, Paul no longer exists. That's powerful language. It's as if Paul says, as concerning me, the world is dead to me. The world is dead to me. And then Paul says, and the world has the same attitude towards me. The world counts me as dead to it. I'm dead to the world. Those are powerful words. They imply, of course, that at one point there was a connection. The world was alive to Paul, and Paul was alive to the world. At one time, the Apostle Paul did care for the things of the world. By nature, Paul belonged to the world. At one point, Paul was of the world. There was that bond between Paul and the world. And what is that world that Paul is speaking of here? It's the world of sinful man, the kingdom of darkness, the world as it lives under the spell and dominion of sin. It's the world that contains the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The world filled with self-righteousness. The world, really, of the Judaizers still. The world that is against God, that dethrones God and would exalt and enthrone man. The world that he's talking about is the world that's passing away. Now, for you and me, to that world, each one of us belongs. According to our first birth, we are those who are born in sin, living under the principle of sin and the principle of enmity against God by nature. So that by nature we seek that world. We honor that world. We want to please that world. And we strive for that world so that its pleasures are my pleasures and its earthly ambitions are my earthly ambitions. Its standards are my standards. And with all my being, I by nature go hand in hand with the world. And the world goes hand in hand with me. We walk down life's pathway together as a married couple. But Paul says something has happened. There's been a death in the marriage. The world has died to me, and I have died to the world. I used to enjoy that world. I used to cater to that world. When the world boasted in her riches, I was right there with her. When the world was stoning Stephen, I was right there with her. When the world boasted in her outward beauty, then I also boasted in outward beauty. And when the world boasted in her wisdom and her accomplishments and all her pride, then I went along with it too. But no more, Paul says. No more. Through the cross of Jesus Christ. What the cross of Jesus Christ has accomplished is this. That world is now dead to me. And I am dead to the world. And the word he uses is crucified, meaning counted as nothing, rejected. That's the idea of crucifixion, rejection, forsakenness. I have rejected the world, and the world has rejected me. The world holds me in contempt, and I hold what the world values in contempt. Because that's the difference the cross of Jesus Christ has made. Now that Paul is dead to the world is not intended to mean that Paul is now going to live like an ascetic, like he's a monk who's going to seclude himself from life in the world. That's not what Paul means. But what it means is that Paul will not set his heart on acquiring the things of the world. He will not go out of his way to gain these things for himself. And if these things should get in the way of his pursuit of the riches of Christ, pressing forward to the prize that is before him, he will gladly and willingly push them far away from him. He forgets those things which are behind. He reaches out to the things which are before. But not only is Paul dead to the world, but the world is also dead to Paul. And what that means is this. As the world sees that Paul's got a different name on his forehead, the world sees that Paul has been made a different creature, a new creation. And the world hates Paul. Paul is now the world's enemy. The world has no use for Paul anymore. He's worth nothing to the world. He's not to be listened to. He's of no account. Truly, as many of God's people have experienced, the world even thinks this way. Those who are Christians, like Paul, whose boaster is in the cross, They're often better dead than alive. And how does Paul react? Paul says, yes, it is true. This is my glory. This is my glory. This is my boast. I'm no longer of the world, you see. I belong to Jesus Christ. And it's exactly that cross of Jesus Christ that has made the difference. Do I seek the approval of the Judaizers? Do I care for persecution? Out of the new man, I can say, why should I fear what man can do unto me? And concern myself with those who can only destroy the body. I fear God. Why should I be living only for this life when I have eternity before me? Do I seek the approval of the Greeks? Do I seek the approval of Caesar? No. Who is Caesar to me when I live before the face of God? By Christ and His cross, the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. The world's pomp and glory, it's a vain show. It's an empty show. The world's riches, the world's wisdom, the world's standards, it's vanity. Talk to the prodigal son. He knows about it. It's vanity and it's emptiness. What's more folly than evolution? What's more folly than what we see in the world today with trying to redefine marriage? Look at the world's entertainment. It's darkness and it's misery and it destroys your soul. It even destroys your body. Just think of this. What did this Lord, what did this world do with my own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He appeared before them in the flesh? They crucified Him. That's the world's wisdom. That's the world's wisdom. Beauty and perfection and holiness was standing before them, and they nailed it to a cross as if it was to be ashamed of itself and put it to death. No, this world is passing away. It will soon be utterly destroyed, rolled up as a scroll. And this world and everything that belongs to this world of sin has become as a corpse to Paul. Why? Because a crucified and risen Christ has taken such possession of his entire nature, his soul and his spirit, that he is now henceforth dead to the world and the world dead to him. And to put it all another way, what Paul is boasting in is this. He's boasting in the reality that by the power of the cross, he's been made a new creature. You look at the next verse. That's what he goes on to emphasize in the very next verse, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter what's in your flesh, but a new creature. This is my boast. I boast in the Lord all the day long in His salvation and what He has done for me and even what He's doing in me. This is the power of God that I make this confession that He is my Savior. That's what the cross has accomplished. Now, this is Paul's personal confession. Paul cannot speak for the members in the church of Galatia, in the churches at Galatia. They're struggling right now with the heresy of works righteousness. They have Judaizers who want to lead them away, and they need to determine what their confession is going to be. But Paul says, as for me, this is my personal confession. God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says our, right? Because he's talking to them as fellow believers. This is your boast. This is your Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul says, this is my confession. This is my reality. This is what God has done with me. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Congregation, that's also the confession, the personal confession we make this morning. That's the confession the Lord worked in the hearts of these young men and this young woman this morning. That's the confession that we make as we come to the Lord's Supper. Because our boast is in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In Him we find, we have our salvation. Congregation, let this confession be what shapes your lives. Let it be this in which you boast. You can boast. You can have confidence. You were made to boast. Don't be slouching. Don't be in despair. Boast. Let this be your boast. Let this be your confidence and your triumph. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He's made me His own child. This is my joy. This is my life. I am His and He is mine. Amen.